Good morning. My name is Reverend Carol Baker. I'm pastor of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls, and I welcome you here. If you are a visitor today, we welcome you and hope that you will join us whenever you choose to do so. Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Lord Jesus, there was a time when the Apostle Paul said to the people around him, "You will be hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving." Because their hearts had become callous, they hardly heard with their ears, and they had closed their eyes to your truth. We pray that as we worship, we would truly hear with our ears, understand with our hearts, and be healed, and then share that understanding with those around us. To the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us call ourselves to worship. Jesus appeared to his disciples many times after he was resurrected from the dead, only to find that they did not recognize him. They were enveloped in fear and had forgotten their mission and their place in fulfilling his purposes. Lord, we pray that you remind us of your call on our lives even now. Allay our fears, provide us with the strength that only you can give us. We remember every promise you have made to us, even as we pray the prayer that you taught your first disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
By way of announcements, I'd like to say that the church office does indeed remain open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, but please call before you come to make sure that we are open. Currently, we are down to our last two masks at the office in the CE building. So if you still need some masks, there are two available, and maybe more will be coming in, we don't know. The mission committee wanted me to remind you that our mission for this month is RIP Medical Debt, And that was explained very well by Gil last week. For every $100 raised, that pays off $10,000 of medical debt. It helps people in debt as well as the hospitals. To date, the United Church of Christ churches in our conference, I believe, have raised $140,894, which translates into $14.8 million of debt that is able to be cleared. That is for hospitals right here in the southern New England area. You may still contribute by sending the church a check or money, but please mark it as RIP medical debt so we send it to the proper place. And Central Congregational Church at this point has donated $2,200, and we have sent the first payment off. So that is the good news. Is there anyone else that wants to make an announcement at this time? Okay, I know you're all muted, so if you want to unmute yourself and make a little announcement, this is the time to do it.
Reverend Carroll?
Yes, Kathy.
Yes, I'm still looking for towels. I've gone and bought some myself, but I've wiped Walmart out. So if anybody else can get out somewhere to Target or somewhere, I'm going back to work next on Monday, so it's going to be difficult for me to get out.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. I will have to remember to keep asking for those. Yeah, for the dish towels that have the same pattern on top and down below. Thank you for reminding us, and I will add that to my announcements.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other announcements? All right, then, Mr. Dave.
The hymn that we're going to sing today is Onward Christian Soldiers. And just a reminder that we're starting to do this. With the lyrics, Kathy does send them out of the office by like Thursday or so. And you can print those out or go to your email and retrieve them and read them off your phone or whatever if you'd like. I usually do a couple of verses. And if there's any instrumental parts in there, I usually try to write that in the lyrics too so you know the form of the song, how we're singing it. And just a reminder, you're singing at home. By yourself, we can't sing together. Zoom doesn't work that way. So if you do want to sing, you'll be participating at home by yourself singing, and whoever's in the room with you, whether it's somebody else or your cat or whatever. But just a reminder, don't unmute yourself when you're singing, because that'll just default the whole thing, and everybody will only hear you singing, and we won't hear the music. So you're singing at home by yourself. Don't unmute yourself, but by all means, please participate if you'd like. And here is Onward Christian Soldiers.
And this is the time we do share our celebrations. This weekend has been a celebration, certainly for a lot of college graduations. So we send out congratulations for all of those upon whom a degree was conferred virtually yesterday, or will happen today, or possibly next weekend as well. High school graduations, we will try to remember to do at the beginning of June when high schools tend to graduate. We have another celebration, which is also a concern, and that is that Erin and Eric had their baby rather prematurely by emergency C-section, and little Cora came into the world. I believe it was on Thursday, weighing 2 pounds and 9 ounces. So a mother is home and the baby is still in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit, and doing very well, according to Eric. So that is both a celebration and also a concern. Again, are there any other celebrations that you would like to lift up? If so, you can feel free to unmute yourself and shout them out.
Hey, Reverend Carol, it's Eric.
Eric, you're here.
I am here.
All right.
Yeah. Cora was born on Tuesday morning.
Tuesday. Okay.
She's doing well. Erin and I were down there yesterday, spent some time with her. She's still eating well, and she's still on a feeding tube right now, but she's breathing on her own. She was taken off oxygen the day after she was born, which is crazy. But she's breathing on her own. She's doing well, but she'll still be there for a little bit until she gets a little bigger and can eat on her own and her temperature can stay regulated and she can go to the bathroom and all that stuff by herself. But she's doing well. Erin's doing well. She's upright and moving and getting her sea legs back. And everyone's doing well. So it was definitely a crazy week, but the girls are doing well, and appreciate all your guys' prayers and your thoughts and your concerns for everyone. And I just want to say, too, my mom has actually joined our church service. She's floating around her summer. Her name's Tammy.
So great. Wonderful. Well, welcome to Eric's family. Welcome. And Eric, congratulations, Dad.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I guess Cora has a mind of her own.
Yeah, no kidding. She definitely had different plans. So
we have several people who are applauding. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And I'm glad things are going well.
Same here.
It's very frustrating not to have the baby home, but she's in the best place for now.
No, absolutely. She's definitely in the best spot, but we'll get her home eventually.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being here and joining us. That's terrific. I know Mr. Dave was very concerned, and he has a big smile on his face now. Okay. Any other celebrations?
Carol, my great-granddaughter, mm-hmm. and my grandniece turned 5 this week.
All right, congratulations.
They're born in the same week.
Oh, congratulations to you, great-grandma. Okay. That's lovely. Any others? All right, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning certainly for people who remain on our prayer list who have ongoing issues, medical issues, and certainly others in need of prayer as well, including Carol, Nikolai, Ed and Janet, Ken, Lee, Tyler, Wade, Brigitte, Cher, Jen, Steve, Marie, Chad, Doris, Lee, Shirley, Roberta, who is now at home and doing well, Cheryl and John, that's Ed's daughter and son-in-law, Carol, who is due to have vascular surgery very soon, Matt Trowbridge and his team at his assisted living, Erin, Eric, and Cora that you have heard from now. And so we ask that you would remember all of these people in your prayers always, as well as those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, including Bud, Jackie, and Carol. We also continue to pray for people who are suffering from the coronavirus and for first responders, all who work in the medical profession, for those who suffer from addictions, for our government officials who are working hard to protect us. And as always, we pray for our nation and our communities as we face this difficult situation. together. So please join with me in a moment of prayer. And when we have a moment of silence, you're welcome to speak those words out as we sing. We mute ourselves and say those names out loud for anyone else that you may have in your concerns. Let us pray. Loving Creator of all humanity, hear our prayers for all who love you and for whom you sent your Son to be the light of the world. Dispel the fear and darkness found all over our world as people live in fear of this terrible pandemic. Destroy every godless and oppressive power and bind all the nations together in justice and peace. Look favorably upon our nation and its leaders. Save them and us from the love of power that leads to self-worship and false pride. Give wisdom to us as we deal with issues of hatred, racism, greed, arrogance, and other oppressive attitudes that affect those who are poor and struggling, who cannot afford a roof over their heads, or who worry about their next meal. It seems that those very people are suffering the worst during this terrible crisis. Bless all organizations like the Attleboro Area Interfaith Collaborative, whose Food and Friends programs are on the front lines of feeding those who are hungry. Bless all the medical personnel on the front lines of caring for people who are terribly ill and dying. Give grace to all others who continue to work, sometimes at risk to themselves. Be present to the prayers of those who struggle due to poverty, sickness, or mental health. We ask your healing presence to be with those whose names we have heard mentioned this morning, and be mindful of the needs of others whose names we call out now in your presence as we wait in silence to hear your still, small voice. Bless, O God, your church in the world and here in Attleboro Falls, that its unity and holiness may be a shining beacon to others. Lord of all life, we praise and thank you for all our companions in the faith who have finished the race and who now serve you beyond our sight. Strengthen us to carry on their tasks and reunite us all in your kingdom. For it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we ask these things. Amen.
Our scripture lesson for today comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 19, and then verses 25 through 32. This is one of Luke's stories of the appearance of Christ immediately after the resurrection to two of his disciples. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, laughing, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" The next verses are discussing the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth and the stories that the women had told about Jesus not being dead. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Our next song, which is can be a song of meditation, a song that we can take time to reflect upon all the good things that God gives us. We're going to hear Amazing Grace, and we are blessed to be able to hear Sherilyn play it on the trumpet and also to see her. So we're going to have more of these videos coming up with participants. So it's nice to be able to share that and that she shares her gifts with us. And so take some time to reflect, and we lift this song up in the glory of God. This is Amazing Grace.
Thank you for that. In the days following the resurrection, there are several accounts between Jesus and his followers. The gospel writers all differ in describing the resurrection. The only one thing they can seem to agree on is that it was Mary Magdalene who was first on the scene. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say Mary Magdalene was with several other women. It's only John who places Mary Magdalene alone as the first person to the tomb. And it's only John that says she actually meets Jesus in the garden following the resurrection. And she doesn't recognize Jesus until he calls her by name. Then in Luke, we have this strange little story. And Luke says, now on that same day, meaning that day of resurrection, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. So I think we're supposed to assume that these are two more disciples. Remember, disciples was a very generic term. It simply meant that they were followers of Jesus. They were students of Jesus. Cleopas is mentioned by name, but we don't know the name of the other disciple at this point. Cleopas was not one of the 12 disciples. You've never heard that name, I'm sure, when you learned the names of the 12 disciples. He was not one of the 12 disciples that formed the inner circle of Jesus' followers. Some biblical scholars think that the other person, the other disciple, was Luke himself, the author of that particular gospel. But he left his name out because of modesty. Well, that's a lot to assume. I have no idea who the other one was. At any rate, their reaction is pretty much the same as Mary's. They do not recognize Jesus. They talk about the recent events in Jerusalem around the events of Jesus. This stranger, in quotes, begins to teach them what these events were all about. And they still don't recognize him. They know their hearts are burning within them, we're told, but they don't recognize him, but they do invite him, according to good Jewish hospitality and customs, to come and share a meal with them. And it is only when he repeated the now familiar words in the breaking of bread that Luke says, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Now, why were these familiar words? They are the words that he had spoken at the Last Supper to the inner circle of the 12. But surely, if he was close enough to those 12 disciples, he must have heard them sharing those words with other followers. It's also strange that the very center of their lives was amongst them, but there was no recognition at first. First Mary, and now these two. This is an old story, and you may have heard it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. It's a story about a pilot with three passengers, a Boy Scout, a minister, and an atomic scientist, and a plane that suddenly developed engine trouble in mid-flight. The pilot rushed back to the passenger compartment and said, "The plane is going down. We have only three parachutes, and there are four of us. I have a family waiting for me at home, and I must survive." And with that, he grabbed one of the parachutes and jumped out of the plane. The atomic scientist jumped to his feet at this point, and he said, "I'm the smartest man in the world. It would be a great tragedy if my life were snuffed out." With that, he also grabbed a parachute and exited the plane. With an alarmed look on his face, the minister said to the Boy Scout, "Young man, I've had a long and good life, and I'm ready to meet my maker. You're still and very young with much ahead of you, so you take the last parachute." At this point, the Boy Scout interrupted him and said, "Hold on, Pastor. Don't say any more. We're going to be all right. The world's smartest man in the world just jumped out of the plane wearing my backpack." Isn't it interesting how a new perspective can change our outlook? From bleak to bright, from perception to recognition, with just a few well-chosen words. Doesn't it remind you of Mary's reaction on Easter morning? And the reaction of Cleopas and this other disciple? These two men had heard the story of the empty tomb and the wild stories that the women had about Jesus being alive, but they still didn't recognize Jesus walking right beside them. Why were they on that road anyway? Perhaps Emmaus was their home. Maybe in disappointment they had concluded that their great adventure of following Jesus of Nazareth was over, so they were packing it in and heading back to the lives that they had before they met Jesus. Back to what they thought was normal. Maybe as with Mary, their despair stood in the way, as well as their disappointment with the way things turned out. Just maybe this scripture is meant to teach us that there is a difference between perception and recognition. In biblical studies, we're always advised not to color scripture with our own narrow perceptions of the world. And we often call it looking through a particular lens. We all see the world through our own very special lenses. I myself see the world as a person raised in a hardworking family. We didn't have much when I was growing up, but I certainly had a roof over my head. I had food. I had love. But I need to understand that I'm going to interpret the world very differently than a person who was raised with the insecurity of being homeless and hungry and possibly physically and emotionally abused. For that matter, I'm going to see the world differently than another person who comes from a very wealthy family, who received all of the material things they wanted and never had to worry once about paying for college or any other bills. Our perceptions of the world color how we interpret our world. In our scripture for today, these two disciples of Jesus are walking along a road that led from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Downtrodden and discouraged, they were returning home to resume what they imagined would be a very different world after meeting Jesus Christ. Their grief allowed them in that moment a very, very narrow lens. All they could see was dark and dismal. They were sad. They were downhearted. They were convinced that life had lost its color. Their hope for a more beautiful world was dashed, and so they barely noticed the stranger coming up from behind them. It was only when they reached their home and he sat with them and broke bread with them that their eyes were opened, and only then did they see for the very first time the risen Savior. Only then did they recognize who he truly was and what their call was still to be. What is our perception as we remain in the midst of this pandemic? How are we holding up to this new reality? Is the COVID-19 pandemic likely to change our world? Do we really think that suddenly everything is going to go back to what we used to perceive as our reality? Or maybe is it pushing us to recognize some very different things? Will we learn to deal better with climate change? Will we become more cognizant of the fact that we are destroying the world over which God gave us stewardship? Will we recognize the disparity in our nation between the truly wealthy and the desperately poor? Wealth is not evil, and poverty is certainly not a virtue. Healthcare should not bankrupt anyone. That's why I'm really glad that Gil Reinders brought us to RIP Medical Debt Relief. What a wonderful way to answer God's call. We need to rejoin the global community because this pandemic reveals that we are truly one world and we cannot afford to live in isolation. Because of the quarantine, I've recognized some different things. I'm taking more walks. I'm noticing new buds, new types of trees, all manner of wildlife all around where I live. I'm also noticing things about myself, the likes and dislikes I hold, and about others around me, especially the way people are creating their own style of masks or wearing some of ours that I see out in the street, some colorful, some plain. I've noticed on my walks the way people I have never met say hello and wave at me just because they seem to want to connect with another live human being. I noticed how food tastes especially good when it's scarcer to secure. I realize I like other people's cooking a lot better than my own, but I'm surviving. When I don't have custody of my dog, Angel, I don't have anyone to talk to. I find myself talking to myself. And then I remind myself of my father. My father would often talk to himself, and when we would confront him and say, "Dad, why are you talking to yourself?" he would always say, "Because it's the only way I can be assured of an intelligent conversation." I'm not sure I'm getting very many intelligent conversations during this particular time. We also value things more when we pay closer attention to them. Right now in our world, it's as though COVID-19 has enabled us all to take a closer look at everything and everyone differently. For some, it has meant finding more to critique. For many, however, it has meant finding more to cherish about our families, our communities, our relationships, and our church. Paying more attention to the little things, realizing that the little things may just matter more than what we used to think of as being so very important. Those two disciples met Jesus on the road to Emmaus and didn't even recognize him. Perhaps this time of isolation and stress and fear may open our eyes to God's presence and may lead us to a new spiritual recognition of the incredible grace of God. May it be so for us as individuals and for us as a church. Amen.
I am reminded of Paul's words from the book of Ephesians when he said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of our hearts be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which we are called, to receive the riches of his glorious inheritance in those who believe in him. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, and thank you all for joining us. Stick around if you want to have a chat.